Pleasure Seekers. Mike Malloy here at 7 past the hour. Welcome to tonight's program. Glad you could make it. Not good news to report. Levon Helm is dead. Got an email from Dave in Brooklyn this afternoon. He writes, Levon Helm is dead and blanking Cheney is still alive. My wife and my first date was going to the last waltz 400 years ago. Here's to the man in the spotlight, Mike, Dave in Brooklyn. And without really getting into it too far, Levon Helm was the American in the otherwise Canadian group that became Bob Dylan's backup band and then the band. The songs that the band provided to rock and roll were largely written by Robbie Robertson, pianist Richard Manuel. Anyway, they broke up a lifetime ago. Levon Helm was 71, and the cause of death was cancer. This hour is being sponsored by Michael Fox. Thank you, Michael. So, word comes out that Newt Gingrich, you know, Mr. Conservative, Mr. Fiscally adroit, conservative, responsible, you know what he's doing? He's charging American taxpayers about $40,000 a day because he still insists on having Secret Service protection. He still thinks he's really a candidate for, or the possibility of becoming the nominee for the American Fascist Party. A source close to the Gingrich campaign told the Daily Caller that Gingrich's personal detail recently had three people, but has had many more. The source said, quote, others on the campaign told me that some of the Secret Service members were even saying it was a waste of time and he shouldn't have it. Staff members think it's ridiculous, too. Just another example of Newt's arrogance and self-importance. And this past weekend, a University of North Carolina student reported that several Secret Service agents stopped, quote, several Secret Service agents stopped me in my tracks when he tried to ask, end quote, when he tried to ask Gingrich a question about comments made by Roger Ailes. Not very flattering comments. Secret Service Director Mark Sullivan wouldn't get into details about each candidate, but he said it runs this year about $44,000 per candidate, according to ABC News. Gingrich started getting Secret Service protection in early March after requesting it in February. So anyway, Ron Paul has not received a Secret Service detail and he doesn't want one because he says it's a form of welfare. Which, well, yeah, it could be that. And it could be just a form of Newt Gingrich's Napoleonic complex. Newt Gingrich, Newt, why don't you sit down? Why don't you just go home? You know, the street lights are on. It's time for your rotund ass to be inside. You know, go home, have a nice bowl of cream of rice, and sit and talk with Callista. Beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 boop. You know, maybe play some Uno. But dear God, boy, President Gingrich, not in your wildest nightmares. Now go on home. President Gingrich. You want to hear of another fascist nutcase? I guess the reason I do this every night, I know it must be hideously boring, all these filthy Republicans. Last night it was the Bishop of Peoria. I got some more on, not him necessarily, but part of his cabal of terrorists coming up here in a minute. But the reason I talk about these right-wingers as frequently as I do is simply because if you're going to vote, I don't know if you're going to vote in November or not. You know, a lot of people are saying, sorry, not this time. Okay, you know, whatever. I'm not going to advocate one way or the other. I know what I'm going to do. But if Republicans are given control of the House again and or the Senate and or the executive branch, you know, that's kind of it as far as fascism. Now, the difference, I think, Democrats are corporatists. I'm not going to argue that. They are. They're corporatists. But Republicans are fascist, purely and simply. Purely, simply fascist. So, that's the reason I talk about it. Now, here's one. This guy named John Race, R-A-E-S-E, Race, running for the U.S. Senate in West Virginia. He has equated a county smoking ban. I'm almost reluctant to say this. He has equated a county smoking ban with Hitler forcing Jews to wear the Star of David. He was speaking last Thursday, a week ago, at the Putnam County Lincoln Day dinner. And this moron turned to Monongalia County's recently enacted smoking ban as an example of government overreach. He said, quote, "But in Monongalia County now, I have to put a huge sticker on my buildings." Your buildings? "To say this is a smoke-free environment. This is brought to you by the government of Monongalia County, okay? Remember, Hitler used to put Star of David on everybody's lapel. Remember that? Same thing." Holy Christ. Later at this meeting, Reese calls President Franklin D. Roosevelt General Roosevelt and Fidel Roosevelt. Isn't this a Sterling? What do you want to bet he's a Christian? What do you want to bet he's a Bible-thumping, Bible-believing, Christ-killing Christian? Asked by Politico about the Nazi comparison, he said, "No, this is not a standard line nor a misstatement. It's a loss of freedom. As Ronald Reagan once said, there's no such thing as partial freedom. There's only freedom." Reese says here is a wealthy businessman. He lost the 2010 special election to replace the late Senator Robert Byrd to then Democratic Governor Joe Manchin by 10 points. In the campaign, the last time, Reese proclaimed the minimum wage should be repealed and said the U.S. needed to put 1,000 laser systems in the sky to defend against a rogue missile. Reese is challenging Manchin again in 2012. Remember, Hitler used to put the Star of David on everyone's lapel. Remember that? The smoking ban? It's the same thing. Let's see how long it takes for the Anti-Defamation League, David Harris, to jump out and remind this guy that there's a little bit difference in burning 6-7 million people to death and telling people they can't smoke in a building.
Enough is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough. You're listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
21 past the hour. Turn down your speakers. For example, spending any time talking about this drug-addled child molester, Ted Nugent, is, total waste of time. But because Scott Walker and Mitt Romney are praising him, then it merits a little bit of investigation. Scott Walker, now is the latest, he attended, Wisconsin governor, soon to be ex-governor, attended the NRA convention in St. Louis last weekend where Nugent made his threatening remarks about Obama. And the event reminded Walker of an NRA convention held in Milwaukee 2 years ago where Walker gave the welcome address and loved meeting Nugent. Walker said with a wistful smile in a video, you can watch it yourself, it's on YouTube, the best part was I got to meet Ted Nugent before he played the national anthem on his guitar. Nugent is currently under Secret Service investigation for saying that he would be dead or in jail by this time next year. And he said that Democrats were coyotes and needed to be shot, blah, blah, blah. Walker was asked about the Castle Doctrine. That's kind of like the stand your ground law in Florida, only in Wisconsin. It's called the Castle Doctrine. You know, your home is your castle. Walker said, quote, another thing I was proud to sign, you know, for me, thinking not only about people protecting their home and their property, but being able to protect their family and their loved ones in their home and on their property. Walker faces the recall election June 5th. Now, let's talk about Ted Nugent. Oh, come on, hold your nose. Just hold on a second. There are people who are so beneath contempt that they're almost caricatures of a human being. Dick Cheney's one. Ted Nugent's another. DebbieSchlussel.com. Debbie Schlussel. Great website. S-C-H-L-U-S-S-E-L. DebbieSchlussel.com. She writes, Ted Nugent should have been in jail or dead long before Obama. He is a draft-dodging, multi-baby daddy, child predator. And then she says what she really means. Attention-seeking has been Ted Nugent. Attention-seeking has been. Ted Nugent is at it again. He claimed at this past weekend's NRA convention that if Barack Obama is elected, Nugent will either be in jail or dead, neither of which would bother me, that this hypocritical draft-dodging child predator, father of 8 kids with 6 different women, is a conservative hero, is sheer idiocy and shows that we have as many or more morons and double standardites on the right as there are on the left. And if you like Ted Nugent, you are one too. As I noted in my column, The Hypocritical Summer of Ted Nugent, this sleazy, fraudulent, aging former rocker draft dodged to get out of the Vietnam War by not showering and wearing the same clothes for 30 days. Evacuating himself in his clothes. That means, you know, taking a dump. So the doctors would declare him unfit. He said it was better for others to serve and die instead of him because he said he'd have been killed and he needed to rock. And he also lied in writing to get a student deferment. This sounds more and more like Cheney. On his successful deferment application, he claimed he was a college student, and yet he was instead touring with his band while other men his age were risking their lives in Vietnam. Almost as disgusting, in his book, Ted White and Blue, The Nugent Manifesto, Nugent has the chutzpah to blame the reason he didn't serve on his late father, a war veteran, and his teachers in school. Oh, and in the book, he advocates for a return to the draft. You know, the draft he dodged, and which made exceptions for student deferment frauds like the one he perpetrated. He confirms that fraud in Ted White and Blue, writing that during the war, he was not a student. He said, quote, my American rock and roll dream kept me in the world of killer music and on the road for 300 or more days a year. End quote. Get it? Killer music? Wow. You're so punny, Ted. I'm sure the ghosts of Vietnam vets appreciate the joke at their expense. There's more to this, and I'm going to share it with you. Ted Nugent is just scum. The only time his name ever pops up is at one of these self-pleasuring NRA conventions where they all get together and look at one another's guns. Hey, what you got? Oh, damn. That's what they do. And that's the only time you ever hear anything about Nugent. Because invariably he will show up. Well, he's on the board, you know. Yeah, I'm old Gallern. Make sure everybody's got a gun. Punk. We'll be right back.
Right now, here's Mike Malloy.
This hour is being sponsored by Michael Fox. Back to Debbie's column on Ted Nugent. She really has a bone to pick with him because of some of the things he said in the past few days. She goes on, and Uncle Ted isn't just your run-of-the-mill sleazebag con artist. He's a child-molesting sicko, too. He had the parents of his underage girlfriend sign her over to him as her guardian so he could have sex with her. He was 30 at the time. How old was the girl? 15? I'm not laughing because of sexploitation. I'm just laughing because this is one sick bastard. I mean, he really is. Yes, the parents should have been locked up for child abuse and sex trafficking, and he should have met the same fate. Then he had the teenager raise his kids while he stayed on the road to have sex with other groupies. He's now the proud baby daddy to 8 children with 6 different women, most of whom he abandoned and to whom he refused to pay child support. You see why this is a conservative hero? Do you see why Mitt Romney and Scott Walker just love him? Just love him to death? Huh? One of those kids was fathered with another woman, not his wife, during his current marriage. And while he fought for years to avoid paying even a dime of child support, you paid instead as the kid and the mother went on welfare. Despite all this, Ted Nugent had the chutzpah, that's the second person to use that tonight, to lecture black people not to have so much sex and father kids out of wedlock in a chapter of his book entitled Black Like Me. He never mentions his own behavior or multiple progeny with multiple concubines. The thing is, I'll leave that part out. Kids who are raised by single parents are much more likely to get involved in drugs, drop out of school, have sex at an early age, and get involved in crime. Tell all this stuff to your mirror, schmuck, referring to Ted. But no, he blames it on Barack Obama in a book copyrighted 2008 when Obama was just a candidate. Oh, and if you're a Christian, whether Catholic or Protestant, don't be too forgiving of the Motor City moron. In his episode of Behind the Music, he mocked organized religion and the belief in God, and in his book he called the Catholic Church the in-house gang of pedophiles. Well, see, Ted and I can agree on that. And made vile statements on stage at a concert that rivaled the crudest rap artists, including telling the audience about his penchant for Ooh, can't say that either. Well, let's just say oral sex. I have a copy of the Behind the Music episode, and in the footage, he makes that exact statement on stage while simulating sex acts with some woman in lingerie. This is... No, I can't do that either. So, file under Class Act Conservative. When conservatives like Sean Hannity and others on Fox constantly feature and promote this scumbag, it says a lot about the values they really believe in. None. They are frauds and hypocrites, just like he is. Ted Nugent is an IQ test for conservatives. If you like him, you are officially an imbecile. Well, okay. Thank you, Debbie. God. Get down, girl! Well, the truth is the truth is the truth, so what are you going to do? Oh, did you hear about... Yeah, we're still on Republicans. Yeah, we still are. Did you hear about... oh, my God, they're calling it Cookie Gate. I just wish the prefix gate would be forever gotten rid of. Anyway, from Diana in Florida, Mike, everyone is rightfully appalled at how Romney has insulted the Bethel Bakery. What's more appalling to me is his rudeness and insensitivity to his hosts, to whoever it was who provided the refreshments. When you are someone's guest, you do not disparage the food you are offered. It's supposed to be so high class, but he obviously wasn't taught the most basic manners. Or even worse, did he consider his host so far beneath him that good manners weren't required? Even if he hadn't been taught that it was bad manners to criticize the food provided by one's host, if he had an ounce of empathy or sensitivity, he'd have instinctively known it would deeply offend the person who provided it for him to do so. Just as he was oblivious to the well-being of his dog on the roof of the car, he is oblivious to the well-being of the people around him, or at least those he considers beneath him. When people show you who they are, believe them. Diane in Florida. And of course, she's talking about this most recent episode of Romney, you know, just being himself. He had some cookies and tea or something, and he said, "Where did this come from? A local 7-Eleven?" Excuse me. Ooh. What other kind of fun little item? Oh, by the way, we're going to open up the phone lines early tonight if you have something you would like to discuss or bring to the table. Some news from Occupy. New Haven, Connecticut, the other day, 13 people were arrested yesterday as police in New Haven, Connecticut, evicted an Occupy encampment from the city's historic green. The mayor there said those arrested were charged with disorderly conduct or interfering with a police officer, according to the New Haven Register. Most were in a group that engaged in passive resistance, sitting with arms linked around a tent and refusing to leave. Once everyone had left the encampment, city employees with earth-moving equipment knocked down the tents and removed all the paraphernalia. The New Haven encampment began back in October and was the last remaining one in New England. A federal appeals court ruled Tuesday that the city could go ahead with the eviction. The green, the park, the historic green, is called the Green, was first laid out when New Haven was founded in the 1930s. It is a public space, but is privately owned by a self-perpetuating so-called committee of proprietors. It's almost 400 years old. San Francisco, recently, a couple weeks ago, police evicted and arrested nearly 80 Occupy protesters who had taken over an empty San Francisco building they said they planned to use as a homeless shelter. Occupy San Francisco protesters said they believed the building had been empty for 5 years. they were evicted because the Archdiocese of San Francisco wanted them evicted. A spokesman for the Archdiocese said the building had been used for music classes for the nearby Sacred Heart Cathedral High School until as recently as 18 months ago. The spokesperson for the church said, or for the Archdiocese said, this is definitely not a vacant building. It's not forgotten. It has a purpose. No one was injured during these arrests. And of course, you remember about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, New York police arrested 10 people during an Occupy Wall Street march in protest against alleged police brutality a week earlier. So the police harassment continues, and I'm sure we'll build as the weather starts to turn from spring to summer. Right? Right. $4 a gallon for water. Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. There's just so many things that need to be aired out and talked about and discussed. You've heard about the Roman Catholic terror organization. The Vatican has appointed an American bishop to, quote, rein in the largest and most influential group of Catholic nuns in the United States, saying that an investigation that took 4 years found that these nuns had, quote, serious doctrinal problems, end quote. The members of the group, it's called the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, had challenged church teaching on homosexuality, had challenged the male-only priesthood, and had promoted, quote, radical feminist themes incompatible with the Catholic faith. The sisters also were reprimanded for making public statements that, quote, disagree with or challenge the bishops, the men who are the church's authentic teachers of faith and morals. During the debate over the health care overhaul in 2010, American bishops came out in opposition to the health plan, but dozens of sisters, many of whom belonged to the leadership conference, signed a statement supporting it. And that was about, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. More on this when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The weapons flow, destabilize the Middle East, enrich the CEO, lie down, people, lay down your Bill of Rights. Tell James Madison we had to let those amendments go. We're talking about
each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
So this umbrella organization of nuns in the United States have been warned now by, have been reprimanded and will be disciplined by the Nazi Pope's posse. The sisters were cited in the Vatican document for focusing the leadership conference's work too much on, sit down, poverty and economic injustice. The sisters were focusing too much on poverty, or focusing its work, their work, too much on poverty and economic injustice, while keeping silent on abortion and gay marriage. You see, this is what the church, this is what the Rome, this is what the papacy, this is what the cardinals want. Get out there and start screaming about same-sex marriage and a woman's right to privacy. What are you doing working on poverty and economic injustice? Who the hell are you following, Jesus or the Pope? Jesus or the church? Jesus or what we tell you to do? Ooh, my goodness. Focusing on helping the poor and the needy? As Carol Lee at Crooks and Liars writes, how could church leaders possibly justify helping the poor and needy when there are abortions to be stopped and gays to hate? Now, remember the Bishop of Peoria, I told you the other night, accused Barack Obama of being a Nazi? Isn't that what he said? Huh? Oh, by the way, the verdict on the nuns was issued by, yep, it's them again, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Uh-huh. The Inquisition. The Office of the Inquisition. Only now it's called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is now led by an American, Cardinal William Levada, formerly the Archbishop of San Francisco. He appointed Archbishop J. Peter Sartain of Seattle to lead the process of reforming the sisters. They're going to reform the sisters. Why are you focusing on poverty and injustice? Focus on queers and the fact that they want to get married. But Your Eminences, Jesus never said anything about gay folk, and he never said anything about ending a pregnancy. Nothing really at all on either one. So, but he did say an awful lot about poverty and injustice. As a matter of fact, I mean, his whole gig was about poverty and injustice, boys. You know? I mean, Jesus probably had a couple of gay friends among those 12 disciples. And consequently, it really didn't matter. I mean, come on. But you see, the war on women, even women who have taken all the vows that nuns have taken. The war on women continues apace. There's more here, but I don't know. You can go to Crooks and Liars and check it out yourself. It's just, you know, it gets so damned tiring reading about this stuff over and over and over again. The fascist right wing in this country, the fascist Catholic organization, the fascist Protestant evangelicals. I mean, don't you people ever get tired of being such bastards? Doesn't it just wear you out? What is your reward? I mean, what? Your women hate you, and I say your women because that's how you'd refer it. They hate your goddamn guts. They really do, boys. They never say that because they have been brainwashed, but beneath the brainwashing, they hate you. And don't be surprised if you wake up some morning and you've been Leona Bobbited, or was it Lenora? Lenora Bobbitt? I think it was Lenora. Lorraine Bobbitt? Lorena Bobbitt, was that her first name? They hate you for what you're doing to them. And as far as the nuns, I mean, they are in their strange world. They are brides of Christ, not brides of the Pope. They're doing what their husband has instructed them to do. Tending to the poor, focusing on economic injustice. Who are you bishops and cardinals and the Pope to interfere in a marriage? They're married to Jesus. That's what the ring is about, you freaks. I don't know. Where's the payoff, boys? What's the deal? What kind of a goose up the ass do you get from being so like yourselves? What is it? All right, all you folks on hold, please stay there. We'll come right back and take your calls as soon as we do this break. And go to Crooks and Liars. Look this up. Updated Vatican smack, or the update. Vatican smacks down Catholic nuns for daring to care about poor people. Of this. This hour is being sponsored by Alan Gothard. Alan writes, dear Mike, the goal line appears so elusive as a mirage in the desert. Your continuous, sincere, and dedicated work will one day make that goal line an attainable reality. Thank you. Mike, keep it lit, and more importantly, do not bogart it. I wouldn't think of it, Alan. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. All right, before you go to your calls, I know I said, but just hold on. Examiner.com. Here's another report. Nugent, apparently, let me just share with you here what Bill Schmalfelt has written. Romney's Ted Nugent problem is about to get a whole lot worse if the mainstream media ever decide to report that Mittens has not rebuked a self-admitted pedophile. In a 1998 episode of VH1's Behind the Music, Ted Nugent admitted to being a serial pedophile. VH1 politely phrased this as, quote, his weakness for young women. Now, there's this. Courtney Love phoned into the Howard Stern show on Monday before eventually going into the studio where she made the shocking allegation. All right, now if you got kids around, I'll give you 5 seconds here, but I'm just going to tell you this because it's all in the political arena, but I don't want to freak out some 8-year-olds. Okay. Courtney Love went to Howard Stern's studio on Monday, that would be at Sirius, where she made the allegation one of the first times she had oral sex was with Ted Nugent. She said she was young. And she didn't want to say exactly how old, but eventually she confessed. She was 12. 12 years old. Nugent would have been 28 at the time. The New York Post attempted to contact Nugent for a response, but was unsuccessful. Moderators at Nugent's official forum deleted the only thread asking about the topic, as evidenced by the forum search giving a file not found error for the match thread. She added that it was a long time ago and she didn't even have breasts yet. I know, way too much information. But this is the one that this is Ted Nugent, the one that Mitt Romney's, one of his sons, is just getting all moist about the fact that Ted Nugent was endorsing his dad. This is one that shows up on Hannity's program, Beck's program. They love him. These are your conservatives. Now, of course, the Mormon probably wouldn't have any trouble with this because, you know, after all, a 12-year-old girl is, you know, okay, all right, that's cool. But even Hannity, I would imagine, would find that a little bit out of line. I don't know about Beck. But, you know, they're just scum. But here's Mitt Romney, who is embracing Ted Nugent. And Nugent is a self-admitted pedophile. Why don't they arrest the son of a bitch? What does it take? I guess the statute of limitations has run out. He goes on television and says he likes young girls. And when he says young, he doesn't mean 19. Good God. Go ahead, Glenn Beck, you horse's ass. Put him on. Thanks to Susan in Squim for sending me that little tidbit. Go ahead, Beck. Put him on. You freak. Oh, my God. Hey, Hannity, get another interview with Ted Nugent. Incredible. All right, as promised. Mark, sorry for making you hold on. Mark's listening on XM in Gurnee, Illinois. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right, but I tell you what, if I had a little girl that's 12 years old and any some bitch put their hands on her, he'd be a dead some bitch, I tell you right now.
Yeah, I hear that.
Him and our children are probably brothers, I don't know.
I don't know. All right, now, Mark, listen up.
Yeah.
I know you're listening on XM, but I also broadcast over the air, so cool it with the language.
Oh, okay.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, you still had to run it, so I thought it was okay.
I know. That's okay. I'm just afraid you're going to drop an F.
I was just following the host.
I just don't want you to drop an F-bomb or anything, all right?
Yeah, well, that's the only bomb I was going to drop.
There you go. All right.
But, here's another bomb for you.
All right.
I've been listening to you for a couple of days, brother, and I think what you've been saying has been pretty cool, especially about the religion thing.
Yeah, hey, Mark, hold on a second. Hold on just a second. Let me put you on. Kathy, will you pick up and tell him about the distortion here and see if we can get him on a different line? All right. Okay, Mark from Occupy Seattle. Let's see on KPTK. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, we're doing well in Seattle despite what the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times has to say. The Occupy movement is strong. We just had Alexander Coburn and Jeffrey St. Clair here, the editors for Counterpunch.
Right, right.
There was a lot of talk about Obama and the politics of illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the consensus of the group at that time was that the only real hope for the country existed in the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Right. Well, what did the Wall Street Journal and New York Times say about, I read the Times every day, but I miss something, apparently. What?
Oh, there have been a couple articles that were tweeted and got circulated where they were asking whether the movement was done. And
that I did see. I thought maybe you were saying that they were getting nasty and funky with Seattle. No, I saw that, not the Wall Street Journal. I wouldn't touch the Wall Street Journal with Dick Cheney's corpse, but New York Times, they were just writing it all off, weren't they?
They don't seem to understand, evidently, that as of May 1st, May Day, there are going to be major demonstrations and general strikes all across the country. So
right.
Maybe at that time they'll wake up a little bit. That's what a lot of the groups across the country have been working on.
Mm-hmm.
But another interesting thing, I thought you might find this interesting, is that, you know, despite the cynicism about the electoral system that was expressed during the Alexander Coburn, Jeffrey St. Clair forum, there were some infiltrations into the Democratic Party by some occupiers who went to the local caucuses here in this state and other states and got themselves elected as precinct officers, and I have to admit I'm one.
Mm-hmm.
Not that any of us have really any hope that any of our objectives will actually be acted upon if any of these people get elected, but some of us became uncommitted delegates and precinct officers and were able to introduce some specific resolutions endorsing the Occupy Wall Street movement. and the objectives of the national movement, which are really quite specific despite what the corporate media is trying to tell people. But it pretty much involves stopping the home floor closures, stopping the bailouts, bringing the troops home, you know, civil rights, civil liberties, pretty much traditional Democratic Party values before they were really co-opted by the corporations. So I don't see why any Democrat or really any Republican or independent would not want to endorse those proposals. But we'll see what the Democrats do with it. In the meantime, I think most of us are just going to keep organizing on the outside, you know, and let it go. But at least now we can counter some of the criticism from the Democrats by saying, hey, we went to your Democratic caucuses and we presented these resolutions. We spoke up. And if you want to ignore us and shut us out of the party, well, that's your choice. But either way, we're still going to be out on the streets demonstrating.
Right. Well, the Democratic Party has and will continue to shut the Occupy movement out. You know that. I know that. Democratic Party, sadly, is, although they have some people who don't seem to realize what has happened to the Democratic Party, and they're still talking the old coalition politics and social justice that the Democrats used to talk about and act on all the time. And it's really sad to see some of these Democrats who don't seem to get it, I guess, that the Democratic Party is not how they're defining it, how they're promoting it. I hope that they will wake up to what Occupy is about. And
you know,
go ahead,
Mike. I wanted to point out too that the folks who did this independently. It was not endorsed by the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Right.
And most of the people that got elected delegates are uncommitted, which I think is kind of hilarious. Actually.
Well, it is. It is. All right, Mark. Got to take a break. Listen, thanks for checking in, all right?
I will check in about May Day for sure, because there's going to be a lot going on.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mike.
Take care. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must get and I shall take. I will tell you what is more hope for you. Your hope.
Cleaning up America one flying monkey at a time. Here's Mike Malloy.
Ribbon of black, stretched to the point of no turning back. Fly to fancy.
21 past the hour. Elaine sent me a very quick email here regarding Occupy. So Mark in Seattle, or anyone else involved with Occupy, just FYI. Elaine writes, Beck's fascist website, I put the word fascist in, The Blaze, has moles attending the organizational planning meetings, including the recent Rebuilding the Dream seminars. The Blaze had one of its main writers, something called a Buck Sexton, down at Occupy Wall Street since it began, but they should already be aware of that since he's you know, keeping a diary and ebook about it. The first installment was available on the fascist website yesterday. So just, when these people are discovered, of course, Occupy wouldn't do it, but I would strip them naked and just push them out in the middle of the street. Just take their pants off. Just strip them naked. Any spy. Strip them naked and douse them in honey. And push him out in the street and watch what happens. Okay, Mark and Gurney, are you on a better phone?
Yeah, can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, it's a lot better.
Awesome. Look, well, I'm going to get to the point real quick here because I hear a double talk on my side of the phone. I don't know why yet.
Okay.
But anyway, I just want to throw something at you because I listen to you every day, man. I mean, you're pretty, I love your show, to be honest with you.
Thanks.
And because I like people who are real. I like the phony people. And what I like about you a lot, is the way you see religion. And I think we see religion in somewhat the same way. I just don't think that you are as much of an atheist as you are, as you proclaim that you are. And this is the reason why I think so, because, again, I think we're on the same page. I just don't believe in the Bible in as much as the way it was written. You know, it came through a lot of languages before it came to the United States and into the English language. And I'm saying that over that process, a lot of stuff was distorted, you know, a lot of things was changed, you know, and depending on who the translator was, he may have put things inside the Bible that he liked, even though it was not what it was said actually in the Bible.
Well,
I'm saying is, too, is that, the Bible is no more than words that man wrote. And if man wrote it,
right. Then
it doesn't necessarily mean that it was true. And the case in point is the part where they talk about Jesus. And they say that Jesus was given to Mary through God, right? Is that correct?
I guess. Yeah, go ahead.
But the other part is that Mary was given to Joseph. So if Mary was given to Joseph and God gave the seed of Jesus into Mary, don't that mean that God is a adulterer?
Well, I guess it could be looked at. Mark, you need to call me on a Wednesday night when we do church, but let me assure you that I am a full-blown, flat-out, on my deathbed atheist, okay? I have no truck with supernatural beings that exist in the sky and, grant people, certain people touchdowns and certain other people grand slam home runs and allows 6 million to die and, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm sorry, Mark, full blown, flat out, never going to change. If I have a conscious death, if somebody asks me at the moment, are you going to recant? I'll say, are you out of your goddamn mind? But anyway, thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. As far as the Bible, what you read, the so-called Christian Bible, the New Testament, all carefully selected, carefully edited. There were many, many books that were left out of the Bible, chapters and verses. You need to read, some night we'll talk about it. The lost books of the Bible, what do they call it, Kathy? Having another senior moment. These things are coming too fast and too close together. Now the somebody help me out here. What is the Gnostic Gospels? Thanks, Stone. Gnostic Gospels. Those books of the Bible or chapters or early Christian reportage that tell a whole different story. Anyway, we have a break here? We do. All right, Gary in Toledo, stick around. We have a couple more, couple open lines if you want to join in. 877-996-2556. I hope you do. If I sound a little weird tonight, you see, I was pressure washing some concrete today. And I had a real high-powered nozzle on the end of the pressure washer. And like an idiot, I let it hit my wrist on the inside. So I'm sitting here dealing with what looks like a rather large third-degree burn. It went right through the first two or three layers of skin. And it's leaking and blah, blah, blah. So there you go. That's why, never mind. We'll be right back.
Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Alan Gothard. His message to Mike, the goal line appears so elusive as a mirage in the desert. Your continuous, sincere, dedicated work will one day make the goal line an attainable reality. Thank you, Alan. P.S. Mike, keep it lit, and more importantly, don't bogart it. Okay. Gary's been holding off forever in Toledo. Hello, Gary.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not bad.
Good.
You stay away from the guns in the future, okay?
Stay away from what? What'd I do?
Well, you know, with cleaning the concrete, you know, and you shoot yourself.
No, that was with a pressure washer, not a gun.
Well, you know, same
thing. No, I don't think I would ever shoot myself. But this is just one of those things you do when, you know, you got the pressure washer trigger in your right hand, and you're reaching down with your left hand to move something, and all of a sudden, shroom!
Yeah, shot yourself.
That's true. I never knew water could hurt so bad. Damn. So yeah. What's up, Gary? Gary, what's up?
Well, this is what I got two things real quick here.
Okay.
Ted Nugent today got investigated by the Secret Service. What did they do, sit down and have coffee and tea or something? I mean, why is this guy arrested, you know?
Yeah.
The second thing I want to run by you real quick is what Alan West said this past week. Why aren't the Democrats outrageous? I mean, they should really stand up and just be pissed off mad about.
Well, you know what my theory is, that the Democrats and the media in our country are terrified to raise their voices for fear that immediately the right-wing blogosphere and the Rupert Murdoch terror organization will start, I don't know, twisting their words. You know, it's an election year. All the Democrats are trying to keep their heads down and not comment on anything, which to me is cowardice of the highest order. I just wish the Democrats would stop cowering in the corner and stand up, you know, put a club in one hand and a pitchfork in the other and just go out and kick ass and take names. I mean, when some freak like Wes says what he says, they ought to surround his ass, take his clothes off, cover him with honey, and throw him out somewhere where there's lots of bees around. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Boehner doesn't say anything, you know, even though they're in the same.
Boehner's drunk all the time. He has to really focus down and concentrate even to say his name. I'm John Boehner. I'm the Speaker of the House. I mean, you know, Boehner's got to just focus. And you know, he's not going to waste his focus on a freak like this Alan West. He's just not going to do it. He's got, you know, he likes Alan West making those kinds of statements. And Boehner just ignores him. Besides, Boehner has a hell of a time just even being sober, much less picking up on what Alan West is saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, Gary, I got to move on. Thank you, pal. Take care. I want to hear from you again, but not right now. Take care. Peace out. Mike is in Fremont, Nebraska. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I wanted to call to talk to you a little bit about salvation for the Democratic Party.
Yeah? You think it's possible?
I do. I'm going to confess to you that I'm still a Democrat.
Yeah.
But before, you know, you attack me, let me just try to explain.
No, I'm not going to attack. I'm not going to attack you for being a Democrat. I still think like a Democrat. It's like trying to come off drugs. You've got to refigure your mind. I understand that. No, I get it.
Right. Well, see, I'm a candidate for the state unicameral here in Nebraska.
Yeah.
District 15. And one thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about is, you know, the problem is that so much of the upper echelon of the Democratic Party, you know, has been, you know, bought and paid for by the corporations, just like the Republicans have been for years.
Right.
I think in conservative states like Nebraska, where Democrats are so outside of the power structure that none of our campaigns here are receiving, you know, big corporate money and things like that. You know, my campaign the only special interest groups at all that have contributed to mine is, you know, public sector unions. You know, because there aren't any private sector unions here anymore, but, you know, like the teachers union, stuff like that, because my opponent tried to get rid of collective bargaining rights here in Nebraska.
So that right away makes you a un-Democrat, capital D, and small and a Democrat, small D. I would vote for you in a heartbeat. Even though you're running as a Democrat, I would vote for you.
Well, right. And another thing I wanted to point out is in Nebraska, see, we our unicameral is officially nonpartisan, which means our party label's not listed on the ballot.
Oh, really?
Which has really helped the Democrats out here in Nebraska, because what we've been able to do is people have to look at the ideas of two candidates.
Right.
Rather than just a party label. Now, the party does give me support. The Democratic Party does.
Right.
And they hold fundraisers for me, and they do all that. But officially, when somebody goes in and votes for me, my party is not listed there. And so people are then looking at my ideas of trying to defend collective bargaining rights and trying to, you know, use sanity when balancing the budget rather than trying to, you know, destroy the working poor and things
right,
like that.
Right.
You know, and so these are some of the things that we're working on. And I think that if there's salvation for the Democratic Party, it's in this notion of quit accepting money from you know, these huge interests.
There you go.
You don't actually need it.
There you go.
You can launch huge $5, $10 donations from everybody in your district who likes your ideas.
Right.
You know, there are registered Republicans in my county, and believe me, I'm definitely not one of those guys. I'm listening to your show. And when they have to listen to my idea, and they say, what party are you? I say, this is a nonpartisan race. My ideas sound good to them, you see. It's this idea that you know, people have to choose somebody's ideas rather than their party label.
Yeah, well, you know, the framers of the Constitution, Mike, I'm sure you know this, they warned against a two-party system, maybe just two-party, maybe it was all political parties. They were very explicit, it's my understanding, in warning that the death of democracy would come with the formation of political parties. I'm sure you're aware of that. So I really respect the way it's set up. Now, I also the way it's set up in Nebraska, but I also know that there's all kind of so-called dog whistle comments that people can make that will be picked up as, oh, yeah, he's an arch-conservative Republican like me, even though he doesn't have an R after his name on the ballot.
Yeah.
So you still...
There's a lot of that.
Sure.
One of my... you know, the campaign literature palm cards that candidates carry.
Yes.
On the ones that I put out, you know, of course, mine are tailored towards, you know, Democrats, because, you know, I definitely need to get Democrats on board and then try to bring on the independents and the Republicans and things. But, you know, one of the things I talk about is fighting for economic justice, you know, is on my palm card and things like that, whereas my opponent has... you know, my opponent has, you know, lowering taxes and some of those other dog whistles. So, yeah, those things are out there, but you'd be surprised at how much weight you can get by knocking door, by going door to door and just saying, you know, here's these ideas, you know, and that's what I respect about the Occupy movement, you know, is they're organizing and they're saying, hey, you've got to listen to our ideas.
Right.
And, you know, I heard occupiers were going to the Democratic caucuses. That's wonderful. That's a great thing, because it's going to hold the Democratic Party's feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of proud of what the Democratic Party's done here in Nebraska, because we're so far outside of that power structure, none of the corporations have interest in donating to us. But then we sneak up on them when we get into the state legislature. And if you look at some of the right-wing bullshit that's been tried around the country, pardon my language, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting you're on air.
Yeah, you got to be careful of certain words, Mike.
Right. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
You know, when you look at some of the right-wing stuff that's gone on around the country, like eliminating collective bargaining and, you know, and like the Arizona-style immigration law,
right?
The right-wingers have tried every one of those in our unicameral, and every one of those has gotten shot down. Elimination of collective bargaining. My opponent wrote the bill on that one.
Well, Mike, you sound like somebody who has an awful lot of integrity. I just hope like hell that you continue on, obviously, on the path you're on. I hope that you're able to immunize yourself if you do start to gain traction and get interest within your district, if you do get elected, I hope you can immunize yourself against the poison that's going to come your way. And I'm not talking about the poison from your opponent. I'm talking about the poison that's going to come pouring in from corporate America, from the capitalists. If you do get elected, and they're not sure of your position, they're going to try to buy you. So I hope you're strong. Integrity does give people strength, and I just hope you remain strong. Okay?
Yeah. Can I put one plug in for my website?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's petersonlegislature.org, and Peterson is spelled with an E-N. And there's a little contribute icon. Anybody who gives, you know, that helps me not have to get bought out by the capitalists. So I'd like to say that.
Say it again.
I'd like to put that.
Peterson.
PetersonLegislature.org.
Okay, and it's P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N.
Yes, sir.
PetersonLegislature.org. All right, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you checking in. Good luck and take care.
Thank you.
We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
They can run and hide. Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans, a form of suicide. Republicans suck!
Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Alan Gothard, and his message is, Mike, the goal line appears so elusive, almost like a mirage in the desert. Your continuous, sincere, and dedicated work will one day make that goal line an attainable reality. Thank you, Alan. P.S. Mike, keep it lit, and more importantly, do not bogart it. I would never do that, Alan. Thank you very much for the sponsorship. I do appreciate it. Oh, indeed. All right, now, we had a momentary phone collapse here, so Kathy had to disconnect everything and come back. And I think we have some of our callers back. Just another night in the Malloy Radio Land. Lucas in Santa Fe listening on XM? Sirius? Or no, the radio? Radio station? Luke?
Hi.
Oh, there you are. Hi, Luke.
Great fan of yours.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
I really appreciate you. I just wanted to say I'm very puzzled why New Yorker put out an article 3 months ago exposing some of the problems with Mitt Romney in his character and his life, especially his being a deacon, minister or whatever, of a Mormon church.
Mm-hmm.
And a major thing was mentioned in there with a woman who was a witness. She was a servant of their household for many years. She became pregnant, and she was about to give birth, and she was a Mormon, but she was working for the family, you know, as a gopher or, I don't know, something. She did a lot of things for them in their home. They knew her well, but she had a meeting privately with Mitt Romney, and he demanded that she give up her child for adoption, and she refused.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she didn't last long there. But I just thought, why doesn't the progressive activists, why don't they make a big thing of that?
Where did you read this, Luke?
New Yorker. The New Yorker
magazine. New Yorker magazine?
Yeah, they did a big article on Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, I think, about his earlier history, when he was a deacon of the church and the Mormon church, and his behavior and his activities, and what a ruthless, cold man he was with the Mormon congregation.
Huh.
And this woman, she's named. She's a witness. They interviewed her. She told her story in the New Yorker.
Hmm.
He literally had a private meeting with her. She broke down crying. I think I believe it. She was pretty upset. Anyway, she was very upset.
She wanted to do what? To keep her child, or to
since she was not she was out of wedlock, had a, was pregnant, about to have a child. He urged her, and then actually demanded that she give up her child for adoption because she wasn't married.
And this is a woman who was electing to carry the pregnancy to term and give birth.
Well, she was thrilled. I mean, I don't. Maybe she had a boyfriend. Who knows? But
right.
whatever happened, he did not want her to keep her child, and he insisted because of the Mormon tabernacle.
Yeah. Well, you know, the more I hear about Romney, the more it just turns my stomach. I mean, I've never liked him from the beginning because he'll say anything to any group, and he'll walk down the street 10 minutes later and say the exact opposite. But stuff like what you're telling us here, it was in the New Yorker. That to me is just it's just out there in Crazyville. And can you imagine some scum like this being president?
Well, no, but you know why isn't this being brought up?
As I said earlier tonight, Democrats and the liberal media tend to stay away from stories like this because they're afraid that they'll be accused of showing a bias.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the past 25 years, this is how media, mainstream media in this country has drifted. If it's not all right wing, which I do believe it essentially is, but if it's not all right wing, it will not report these stories, and the people have a right to know this stuff.
But you know, couldn't you, as a David and Goliath, couldn't you seize on this New York article and bring it up to the press, I mean to the world?
Well, I don't, you know, my contact with the world, Luke, is about, you know, a silly millimeter long.
You'd be surprised how many people listen to you.
Well, we get the New Yorker, don't we, Kathy? Is our subscription run out? We get the New Yorker.
It's about 3 months ago. It's a big article. It's a long article exposing all his character flaws.
Oh,
but
damn.
This is major.
I must have just read the cartoons in that issue, and
I love the cartoons.
And kept going. I'll see if we've got it here at the house. Luke, thank you so much. I appreciate you checking
in.
Okay.
I just hope someone will carry the banner of this because this is juicy.
I'll see what see.
Imagine
what,
with all this war on women. I mean, this is number one for. This could really.
No, I get it. I get it. You're absolutely correct, and I'll do what I can to track that down. And if not, I'm sure I can get it online. Since we are subscribers, for God's sake. All right, thanks, Luke. I appreciate you calling tonight. Thanks. All right, you're on hold, and I know you're on hold, and I see you're on hold, and we only have 20 seconds left before Kathy starts the music, so I'm going to apologize to you and ask you to call in again another night.
Yeah, but you never take phone calls.
Well, you know, we're going to start taking more than we usually do. One would be more than we usually do. But so, or you can try next hour, although I've pretty much got, we're going to switch topics pretty dramatically here. And, move on. So I guess that's it for the phone calls tonight. Are the phones working now, Kathy? It's kind of iffy, huh? Okay. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. 10 after the hour. 10 before, 10 after, pick one. 7, 6. All right, how about 7? Go with 7. 7 past the hour. Good God. I got to stop drinking between commercial breaks, or during commercial breaks. That'll do it, right? Aha! This hour, by the way, is being sponsored by Raging Lefty. Raging Lefty. He has a rather lengthy one here, so let me go through it. This hour is dedicated to Janet Roberts, the gutsy owner of KTNF, the progressive voice in Minnesota who brings us the Mike Malloy Show. Mike Malloy is like Morpheus of the Matrix. Mike offers his listeners a choice between the red pill or the blue pill. Those who are spineless cowards will swallow the blue pill and return to their cages in the matrix of illusion. Those who are courageous listeners will bravely swallow the red pill and go on the wildest ride they will ever imagine on their journey toward the truth. Just like Trinity brought Neo to Morpheus, Janet Robert brings us to the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you for helping us escape the Matrix, even if it's just for 3 hours a day. Signed, Raging Lefty. Wow. How about that, Janet? She listens every night. How about that? You are Neo. Janet Roberts. Thanks, Janet. Thanks. I mean, Raging Lefty. Well, both of you, really. Yeah, Janet's put up with a lot of crap from this program. She really has. She has, I have to say, of all the stations we carry, or that carries us, Janet has been the one who has most often reaffirmed her dedication to keeping us on the air, even though she really disagrees with me on certain issues, which is the way it should be. Thanks, Raging Lefty. I appreciate it very much. You've heard of the Buffett rule, of course. You know what that is. It's a colloquial way of talking about a 30% tax rate for income tax rate for people earning $1 million a year, getting $1 million, not people who have $1 million or 10 million or a nest egg or investments or what have you, but people who earn. And even that's the wrong word, because how do you earn $1 million a year? You have to be screwing somebody severely. You have to be lying, cheating, and sneaking. Ooh, really? Yes, really. With a few exceptions, I guess. But $1 million a year. Imagine, if you will, how badly Limbaugh and his pod people on right-wing radio, how badly they screw. They're screwing the whole country. They're destroying America. That's their goal, tear the country down. And look how much they make. So there's no such thing as earning. It's just how badly you can connive, convince, and otherwise manipulate people to give you, somehow give you $1 million. Who in the hell's worth $1 million a year? Are you? Well, of course. I mean, sure, you're worth $10 million a year, $20 million, $100 million, $1 billion. Yeah, me too. I'm talking about earning it. But I digress. So the Buffett rule was designed, it was named after Warren Buffett, of course, whose vast capitalist empire, last time I read, is worth, I don't know what, $120 billion? He's in everything. I think Buffett is probably the kind of capitalist that when the revolution comes, they won't really do anything to him. He's just a nice guy. He seems to be a nice man. And you know how it all came about. His secretary pays an effective tax rate of like 30%, and Buffett pays an effective tax rate of like 10% or something. And, of course, when Buffett first started talking about this, you know, I'm more than willing to pay more taxes. This is ridiculous. And all the mouth breathers and knuckle draggers and half-asses on the right started saying, well, you can always send more money to IRS, which is totally not the issue. But that's the best they can come up with. These are right-wingers. These are conservatives. That's the best they can come up with. They look at Buffett as a traitor to his race. No, we're not talking race here, boy. All right, traitor to, this is class warfare, right? Shut up. Sit down. There's a radio program going on here. Just sit down. Go back to picking your boogers. Go away. Ooh, I hate these people. The Buffett Rule. So, Senate Republicans Monday this week blocked a move to open debate on the so-called Buffett Rule. Debate. Not to turn it into law, because they can't turn it into law, but to open debate. And Republicans said, no, we're not even going to talk about it. And that's primarily because most Republicans in the Senate are millionaires. Issa's in the House, but Issa is the wealthiest member of Congress, I guess. He has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Not bad for a former car thief. But in the Senate, back on Monday this week, the Republicans, with the exception of Susan Collins, they do what they always do. They said, nope, not even going to talk about it. Nope. Now, see, if the Democrats were to do this, these little Republican tight asses would be all over television. Oh, they're obstructing. They're obstructing. But that's the way Republicans currently. These aren't Republicans. Come on, Mike. That's the way the neo-fascists operate. Plus the fact that they're just thumb-sucking little, I don't know, three-month-old babies. No offense to three-month-old babies. I hate to compare babies to these creeps in the Republican Party who are office holders. But that's pretty much it. Unless something is stuck in their mouths to shut them up, they just whine and cry and bleat and burble all over the place. You know, they are totally useless in the Senate, as any three-month-old child would be useless in the Senate. But I digress again. So the vote was 51 to 45. Democrats were 9 short of the 60 they needed to cut off threatened filibuster. I don't know why the Democrats accept that. Why don't they say, okay, we beat your ass 51 to 45. Or 51 to 45 was the vote. So we're going to go ahead. Since the majority said, let's go ahead and have the debate. But 51 is not a majority in Republican world. 51 is nothing. 60 is a majority. So even though you wind up 51 to 45, the idea stops. This is called the governance in the minds of these half-assed Republicans. This is how you govern. Majority does not rule. I'm talking about on the floor of the Senate. I'm not talking about out in the real world. Of course, majority can't rule. That's the difference between a democracy and a republic. In a republic, the rights and protections of the minority have to be protected. Isn't that human? I mean, isn't that a great idea? Democracy is nothing more than mob rule. If 51% say, let's hang everybody with red hair, well, then everybody with red hair gets hanged. But I digress for a third time. I deeply apologize. The Republicans, 45 Republicans, said, no way, go to hell. We're not even going to talk about it. Because not only are we millionaires, we are supported by millionaires and billionaires, and we don't want to hear this stuff about 30%. Where do you think you are, in Reagan era? Well, today, House Republicans countered with the proposed tax cut for businesses that they say would spur job creation, but would cost the Treasury almost exactly what the Democrats' tax increase would raise. Now, let me repeat that. House Republicans came up with an idea today that will cost the Treasury as much as what the Democrats' tax increase on millionaires and billionaires would provide to the Treasury. You see how this works? Okay, a little bit more when we come back. Stay with me.
1,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So before the Senate fascists voted to not even talk about the so-called Buffett rule, there was all kinds of deviltry on the floor of the Senate, as you can imagine, by the fascists. The fascist party in America is hell-bent on one thing, and that is corporate rule everywhere. I mean, just total corporate rule. They're also interested in ending this silly nonsense about representative government. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? I mean, it's pointless to have representative government. What is that? First thing you know, you have independents, or you have moderates, or, oh, God forbid, or you have, you know, the L word. You'll have them in here, or then you'll have the P word, you know, progressives. And the next thing you know, the ugly white people, the ugly white men lose control of the most exclusive club on earth, as they like to call themselves. So, the debate, it wasn't really a debate, the screeching and noise-making by the Republicans, the fascists, on the floor of the Senate was certainly cacophonous, and it went on and on until finally Mitch McConnell went to the Senate floor and all but called Barack Obama a liar. He said, McConnell did, quote, "By wasting so much time on this political gimmick that even Democrats admit won't solve our larger problems, it's shown the president is more interested in misleading people than he is in leading." So the president of the United States is, let me see, he, according to this washed-out, drug-addled, rock and roller, Ted Nugent, he deserves to be, I don't know, what did Nugent say? Have the president's head cut off or something? According to other people, he's a Muslim, he's an atheist, he's a communist, he's a Nazi, and now he's a liar. Oh, the Republicans really know how to elevate political discourse in this country, don't they, huh? Yeah, but what about you, Malloy? No. I'm not a Republican. So Mitch McConnell pretends like Obama is making stuff up. But a Gallup poll last week indicated 60% of Americans support the proposal of a 30% across the board tax rate, income tax rate for people who pocket $1 million per year, you know, income. 30% across the board. 63% of political independents favor this idea. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, called the Republican response proof positive that for the first time in decades, maybe generations, they're on the defensive on their signature issue, taxes. And after he made that comment, a CNN poll was released that showed 72% of Americans approve of this idea. 30% income tax rate for people who make $1 million a year. 30%. Wow. 53% of Republicans also support the idea. So you Republican fascist office holders, go ahead. Keep it up. And when the morning after Election Day, there's a package on your front door and you open it and it's your own ass, you will understand partly why. Romney, of course, paid an effective tax rate of 13.9%. His income in 2010 was $21.7 million. 13%? Jesus Christ! You paid more than that, truth seeker! I don't care what you do, you paid more than that. So did I. Oh my God! Of course, that's the only full year's tax return that he has released. And, of course, in the Senate, all the Republicans except Senator Collins of Maine voted against allowing debate on the Buffett rule, Of course, Collins is out of there because she could no longer stomach the filth and the rot of being part of a party that has become completely fascist. I don't know how Olympia Snow puts up with it. She'll be the next to go, probably. And it's fully understandable, right? Every Democrat but good old Senator Mark Pryor of Arkansas, who is not a Democrat, although he claims to be one, he is about as Republican as you can get. Every Democrat voted for it. Voted for a debate. Just to talk about it. And, of course, the Republicans, the fascists, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Minority rules in here, goddammit. We are the fascist party. We will do what we please. Ha, ha, ha.
It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Raging Lefty. And his message is as follows. Raging Lefty writes, this hour is dedicated to Janet Roberts, the gutsy owner of KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota who brings us the Mike Malloy Show. Malloy is like Morpheus of the Matrix. He offers his listeners a choice between the red pill or the blue pill. Those who are spineless cowards will swallow the blue pill and return to their cages in the Matrix of Illusion. Those who are courageous will bravely swallow the red pill and go on the wildest ride they will ever imagine on their journey toward the truth. Damn, boy, I like this one, Raging Lefty. Just like Trinity brought Neo to Morpheus, Janet Roberts brings us to the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you for helping us escape the Matrix, even if it is just 3 hours each day. Signed, Raging Lefty. How about that, Janet Roberts? And again, I'll add my 2 cents worth to my appreciation to Janet for continuing to carry this program. Even though I know that at times she just aims something that fires projectiles at the radio when I'm on. I don't blame her. Thanks, Raging Lefty, and thanks, Janet Roberts. Back to this, the Buffett rule thing, where Mitch McConnell, the turtle, goes to the well of the Senate and, speaking for the other fascists in his party, says that Obama is more or less a liar about how much money will be saved or contributed to the Treasury, almost an equal amount to what Representative Eric Cantor of Virginia, he's the House Majority Leader, he's got an idea. Instead of a Buffett rule tax of 30% on people who earn $1 million or more a year, Eric wants to give businesses with fewer than 500 employees a 20% tax cut this year. Ooh, that's wonderful. These are for the job creators, right, Eric? See, Cantor says the Buffett rule would raise taxes on the so-called job creators. I'm so sick of hearing that. Aren't you sick of hearing that little meme that was put together probably deep in the bowels of the of Grover Norquist's addled, drug-addicted mind, right? Job creators. Now, the Republicans and the Democrats have created kind of reverse image arguments to take into the election year. Eric Cantor's bill, and this is all according to New York Times. I didn't credit this where it belongs. Sorry. New York Times. The Cantor bill would cost the Treasury $46 billion. Yeah, chump change, right? $46 billion, yawn. The Senate Democratic bill would raise $47 billion in tax revenue. But in addition, the Senate Democratic bill would also raise it up to $160 billion if the Bush-era tax cuts for the absolutely wealthy are extended. I don't know if I'm reading that right. Let me move on. Democrats argued for more fairness in the tax code. Fairness? That's right out of the Communist Handbook. Fairness? Is that like from each according to his ability to each according to his need or something like that? Isn't that Marx? And I don't mean Groucho. Huh? Fairness? The House bill, the Cantor bill, would offer a tax cut to small businesses. But the bill is drawn so broadly. This is how the fascists sneak in legislation that nobody pays any attention to. Just like Fat Tony Scalia on the Supreme Court, you know, paused from counting his rosary beads when he was listening to the arguments against the Affordable Care Act and made the statement, this is an 1,100-page bill you expect us to look at, read it? What are you talking about? Bleh. Omnius dubrius. And he went back to counting his beads and staring in the corner at Uncle Clarence. But I digress for the fifth time here, and I apologize. The House bill is drawn so broadly that it would benefit anyone with income through partnerships or other so-called pass-through entities. So it wouldn't just go to the so-called job creators. No, I don't think so. Almost half the benefit would accrue to the households with incomes over $1 million again. This is according to the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. So when Eric Cantor stands up and says, well, no, I've got one here that's a lot better. My bill will benefit the job creators. And he's lying through his teeth. But that's the reason Mitch McConnell scuttles his bony ass to the floor of the Senate and says Obama's a liar. See, you label somebody before they have a chance. Before you lie, you call the person who's obviously going to call you on the lying, you call him a liar. This is something that you pick up in the third grade when you have recess. And most people outgrow it by maybe the fifth grade. Unless you are destined to become a Republican, i.e. a fascist office holder, or a regular Republican. All Republicans lie. Their entire lives, their entire philosophies, their religious nonsense, all of it is based on lies, deception, illusion. And of course, the bare bones truth is while the rest of us have to suffer, the only people these freaks are lying to and deceiving and creating illusions for are themselves. But once these fascists become office holders, then they have the power, and they use it, to put us all in the same mess. So, what's his name? The blown-out, drug-addled, drunk rock and roller who is on the board of the NRA. He's got it partly right when he talks about riding in and lopping off their heads. He's just got the wrong people whose heads need to be lopped off. Huh? Right? My goodness. When we come back after break, you got to have something to write with. because I want to give you a website that I want you to check out. ALEC, A-L-E-C. It's not a lobby. It's not a front group. It's a lot more powerful than that. ALEC, behind closed doors, or through ALEC, behind closed door corporations and state legislators, the changes to the laws that these corporations demand. And along with legislators, corporations have membership in ALEC. Corporations sit on all 9 ALEC task forces and vote with legislators to approve so-called model bills. Now, ALEC has been brought to the, or attempted to bring to the forefront of America's collective consciousness, which is not going to work because we are dumber than a sack of doorknobs. But some major corporations have decided to bail out of ALEC because the truth is coming out about ALEC. ALEC and the NRA instruct legislators that they own to vote for things like the Stand Your Ground bill so that people of color can be shot dead. Because most white people feel when all they have to do is walk by someone who is not Caucasoid, and a Caucasoid will go, oh, they're going to rape me. They're going to tag me. They're going to steal my car. They're going to eat my baby. I better kill them quick. So the Stand Your Ground laws that exist in 22 states were all written by ALEC and handed to these candy-ass legislators who do exactly as they're told. Well, ALEC is being exposed. Corporations, as I said, sit on all 9 ALEC task forces. Now, 9 task forces? What? What are we talking about here? Well, there is one that was responsible for the voter ID and Stand Your Ground laws. Do you think that all of a sudden the various state legislatures seemingly at the same time decided, well, voter registration cards aren't good enough? Let's have photo ID. This came from ALEC. So much of the destructive nature of the political bloodbath that's going on in this country right now is from the hands of ALEC. Who's behind ALEC? Well, the Koch brothers, among others. And look, you right-wingers that sit there naked and play with yourselves while you listen to this program, because I know it turns you on, can't you wake up for just a moment? Can't you put your hands down for just a moment and realize that these fascists are coming after you too? Don't you understand that, you poor brain-addled freaks? Don't you get that? Maybe you don't. All right, when we come back, have something to write with. For the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Raging Lefty. One more time, his message. He dedicates the hour to Janet Roberts, the gutsy owner of KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota, who brings us the Mike Malloy Show. Malloy is like Morpheus of the Matrix. He offers his listeners a choice between the red pill or the blue pill. And those who are spineless cowards will swallow the blue pill and return to their cages in the Matrix evolution. Those who are courageous listeners will bravely swallow the red pill and go on the wildest ride they will ever imagine on their journey toward the truth. Just like Trinity brought Neo to Morpheus, Janet Roberts brings us to the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you for helping us escape the Matrix, even if it is just 3 hours a day. Signed, Raging Lefty. Thanks, Raging Lefty. That was quite a compliment to Janet, and she deserves it. ALEC. Elected legislators, you know, we elect them, or somebody does, the fascists, little brain dead freaks elect these guys who are active and elected in ALEC, almost all of them right wingers. They then bring the proposals put out by ALEC and introduce them in state houses across the land as their own little brilliant ideas and important policy, public policy innovations, without disclosing that the corporations crafted and put the put these bills together. But the little turkeys, the Republican fascists that people thought they elected to represent them, are not representing them at all. But it doesn't matter. ALEC boasts that it has over 1,000 of these bills introduced by legislative members around the country every year, with 1 in 5 of them enacted into law. ALEC describes itself as, their words, unique, unparalleled, and unmatched. It's as if a state legislature had been reconstituted and the corporations had pushed the people out the door. And those talk about the matrix. Here's the website, sourcewatch.org. Sourcewatch.org. Please go there and just spend some time. John Nichols, writing The Nation Online. Just the other day, had this. ALEC, the shadowy corporate-funded proponent of so-called model legislation for passage by pliant state legislatures, announced that it would disband its public safety and elections task force. That's one of them. Remember, I said they had, what, 7 or 8 so-called task forces, right? This one they're going to disband. That task force has been the prime vehicle for proposing and advancing these anti-democratic initiatives, voter suppression laws, not just restrictive voter ID laws, but also plans to limit the ability of citizens to petition for referendums and constitutional changes that favor workers and communities. I'm telling you, you better pay attention to this stuff. If you're just going to sit on your asses and listen to this radio program, that's up to you. But you better pay attention, not to me, but if I give you the name or a website, I know most of my listeners are already familiar with sourcewatch.org, but if I give you the name of something that has horrendous information about the utter and absolute destruction of representative government, and you don't do anything about it, shame on you. Shame on me. Come on. Come on. As John Nichols writes, this particular task force, Public Safety and Elections, isn't that cute? Has also been the source of so-called Castle Doctrine and Stand Your Ground laws that limit the ability of police and prosecutors to go after incipient fascists who shoot down unarmed individuals who the fascist thinks, oh, that was a threat. How's it a threat? He's got dark skin. Did he do anything to you? No, but he's there. Now, according to John Nichols, the expanded interest in ALEC, which has been under scrutiny since the Center for Media and Democracy and the Nation launched the ALEC Exposed Project last summer, pressure by civil rights groups, Urban League, Color Change, good government organizations like Common Cause, People for the American Way, has in recent weeks led to decisions by Coca-Cola, Pepsi, McDonald's, other corporations to drop their affiliation with ALEC. Like moi, I'm sure you had no idea that major corporations were involved in this. If you go to the website, there will be a list of the corporations. It is endless. It is seemingly endless. Take a look at it. Take a look at it. In many cases, John Nichols writes, the corporations that have quit ALEC have suggested that while they were comfortable working with this right-wing group, they are a little bit ill at ease being drawn into debates about issues like voting rights and gun control. Now, Nichols goes on, and SourceWatch goes on, but I'm just asking you to go to SourceWatch.org. Take a look at the articles on ALEC corporations, ALEC politicians, ALEC state chairman, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that's what ALEC stands for, articles on fracking, articles on coal plants. I mean, it's all right there. For God's sake, these are the people. This is the organization. The rest of these chumps are just diversions. This is the organization that is attempting, with all its might, to destroy your country. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Nature Seekers, my